Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Here's a brief but annoying message to let you know that you could have first heard this episode 9 months ago if you were a subscriber to our Iron Filing Society Patreon offering.
For the price of a pint and a St. Clement's each month, you can get up to 4 episodes a week, 9 months before the rest of the world gets them. Early access to regular episodes, lots of other marvellous benefits, and there's absolutely no adverts or brief but annoying messages like this that will get right on your tics.
Find out more and subscribe now at tftimemachine.com/ironfilings.
Here we go, this is it!
This is Top Flight Time Machine, I am Andy Hotbody Dawson, pow, pow, pow.
I'm Sam Nifty Delaney, so what?
This is the beginning of what we are calling the Zamo Odyssey. We're looking back to the period in, I think it was 1985 or 86, I'm not sure. Probably should have researched that, doesn't matter. When on Grange Hill, the easily the most popular kids' TV programme of its day, one of its most best-loved characters, Zamo Maguire, fell foul of heroin, which seemed to be everywhere at the time. There was an epidemic of heroin. We were all on the heroin one way or another.
In the 80s, everyone was bang on it,
weren't
they?
We were either taking it or it was in our seeping into our consciousnesses through other people taking it. Boy George, who was the biggest pop star of the time, even Boy George got caught up in the heroin.
I found heroin so terrifying. And I had a lot of exposure to drugs at an early age, not taking them. I didn't take any drugs until I was a bit, you know, until I was an adolescent. But when I was a child, I'd seen a lot of drugs being used and discussed around me. And yet, I found heroin. It did not desensitise me in the least to the terror of heroin. And that is as a result of, actually, I think, say what you like about them, but I think the government campaigns, and this is almost, was almost an adjunct to that, because the big TV shows made a lot of effort, whether that was under pressure or suggestion from government lobbying, I don't know. Mm. Because, of course, EastEnders did it as well, didn't they? All of this stuff, it worked, you know. The heroin screws you up, that campaign. It was really effective. They don't really do that anymore, drugs education. And in a way, I think they should, because, like, you know, we're both pretty liberal people, and generally speaking, I suppose I lean towards the idea of decriminalisation of drugs, because it's a public health, it should be a public health rather than a fucking crime issue, in my opinion. But having said that, there is a risk you can go too far the other way, and there's all that sort of Noel Gallagher going, you know, taking a pill's just like having a cup of tea. And actually, kids would do well to be quite scared about drugs, right? And I was fucking terrified off my tits of heroin. Because as a child in the 80s, you were absolutely fucking force-fed scare stories about the dangers of heroin, which was good because it was so cheap and widely available, and it took such an immediate hold on people's lives when they tried it.
I think the element of that whole campaign that sent it into the realms of the terrifying was the syringe.
Yeah. But, no one likes
the
injections.
The idea of injecting yourself with it, because we used to get injections. We'd get inoculated, wouldn't we? We had our tuberculosis injections when we were 13, whatever it was. Nobody wanted that. That was like, oh, no, I'm going to get the fucking needle this week.
What was it they called it, the one? It had three letters, not CBT, but it was something like that, wasn't it?
BCG.
BCG. And first they put, like, six needles into you.
You'd get what they called the six pricks. Which was, they get it
six
on your
pricks.
On your,
ping,
on your
ping,
lower
ping,
arm.
Ping.
Yeah, all in one thing. It was like a cigarette lighter out of a car. And they just put it on your your lower arm, and it was to test you for, I think it was to test to see if you'd have any adverse reaction to the big one, the BCG.
Yeah.
So yeah, you just got that. There you go. There's six for stars. Yeah. Six little ones.
There'd be lots of scare stories, wouldn't there?
Was kind of just below your shoulder, the BCG.
Yeah.
And of course, after you'd had it, everybody people would go around punching each other on the BCG arm.
Because some people would go up like a fucking big boil, wouldn't they?
It would be really hurt, yeah.
So injections were obviously probably the most scary thing you thought about
they
when you were a kid.
They were pretty negative, yeah. So the idea of having to inject stuff with heroin.
As we'll get on to, Zamo chased the dragon, which is smoking heroin out of foil or whatever. And they didn't talk...
Spoiler.
Yeah, a bit of a spoiler, but... I suppose the problem is that if the government were relying too much on the whole injection angle, like you're a kid walking around going, I won't take everything because I don't like injections. And then one day someone goes, what if I told you that you could get all the pleasure of heroin without any of the needles? That's right, kids. I'm talking about chasing the dragon.
Chasing the dragon kind of snuck in the back door, didn't it? When everyone was worried about the syringes and the injections.
Yeah.
Chasing the dragon. It sounded... I mean, if you were into stuff like Tolkien,
you think, I want to chase a dragon. That sounds cool.
Where can I find this dragon? Bring it on. So
there was actually in the episode. We're going to talk about the episode when Zamo was first exposed as a heroin user.
A smackhead.
There was a subsequent episode where there was some graffiti that someone put up in the school. I always remember it. It was one of the first times I heard the phrase chase the dragon, because it said Zamo chases the dragon or something.
Yeah.
And he takes offence because by that stage he's sort of in a state of recovery. But
doesn't he desperately try to scrub it off the wall himself? He goes and finds a fucking scrubbing brush or something. We'll get to that.
I mean, it's very sad. It's sort of funny when you think about, like, heroin and Grange Hill and Zamo, right? But at the same time, watching it back for the first time in years, you realise how it was so genuinely shocking when you first saw it. So shocking.
Also
just really, really sad, because we were just talking about it off air, the way it's written is so human. It doesn't pull any punches. It doesn't really make any concessions to the fact that it's ostensibly a kids' show. And all the characters, not just Zamo himself, but his friend Roland, the other characters involved, there's a sadness on behalf of, like, you feel sad for all of them. You feel sad that Roland has some, you know, involvement in it, because he's sort of sweet and innocent and a nice lad. Oh, it's so sad and so raw and so, like, not... I think even my daughter, who I made watch it, not because I wanted to educate her about the dangers of heroin, because she always laughs about the amount of fucking... talks they get and shitty drama workshops they get at school. Hi, would you like some drugs? Drugs? What are they? They make you feel nice. Plus, they make you seem cool and grown up. No thanks, my mum says I'm not to. Right? It's all that sort of shit. Right? Are you always going to do everything your mummy tells you? Alright, I'll try it, but just once.
A month.
I feel great. 1 month later.
Oh, no, I'm dead.
I'm dead. I'm a prostitute. Right.
I'm talking to you now from prostitute heaven.
I wish I'd never done that one try of drugs. She's quite funny about it, because she does all those impressions, right, of the sort of fucking lame-ass education they get. There's another one about gangs and knives that's more or less the same.
Yeah.
Here, take this for me, will ya? What is it? A knife. A knife? What for? It's just for protection. A gang's not just about crime, you know. It's about family. It makes you feel like you belong. Go on, join the gang. Oh, I don't know. My mum says I'm not to.
Your dad ran away? Yeah, mine too. Let's form a gang.
But my mum says I'm not to be in gangs. Oh, your mum again. Come on. You want to be a man, don't you? Take the knife. We probably won't have to stab anyone.
But it's good to have it just in case.
No! No, Andy! He's dead! No! fade to black. Anyway,
I'm talking to you from regular heaven,
where gang members go after being stabbed.
Gang heaven.
I'm in gang heaven, where knife crime victims are. No, but she's even she was surprised by the fact that it was less heavy-handed than she's used to seeing it. Oh, and right, that's great. Show it did a lot of things like that. There was a lot of, there was a lot of stuff about this before it came. We all knew, didn't we? Do you remember? We all knew someone was going to be on heroin in this series, but they didn't reveal who it was. And it was very much like Who Shot JR.
It was, yeah.
Because we were watching it, and there was a character at the time called Danny Kendall, who you'll remember.
Of course.
He was a bit of a weirdo, right?
Oddball.
He was a fucking oddball. And I was watching it with my older brother, Cass, who was, you know, sort of a bit of a Jack the Lad, 7 years older than me, and, you know, kind of, he thought he knew the lot, and I thought he knew the lot as well. So he was a bit like this. What's this then? Grange Hill, someone on Skag, are they? Don't worry, I'll be able to identify you straight away.
That one, the little cunt.
That's what he said. He went, I'm telling you now, that cunt there is on gear. Trust me, don't ask me how I know, but I fucking know. It's him. What's his name? Danny Kendall. Write it down. Go up to fucking William Hill now and stick a fiver on it. I'm telling you. It's Danny Kendall. Right? They'll close the book on him. And I was like, he's right. It's Danny Kendall. That's why he's such an oddball. The fact that it turned out to be Zamo was so powerful, because Zamo was like the everyman character.
He was.
He was a character we all loved. He was just a little cheeky chappy, wasn't he?
Yeah, yeah. And that's what can happen. I mean, we were just chatting about this before we started recording, but this whole episode is brilliantly written. And there's so much subtlety in it that as kids would have just gone right over our heads. It kind of didn't need to be in there, but it's so brilliantly crafted.
It really is, yeah.
So, but there's kind of two storylines going on at the same time, and we'll just look at the whole episode, basically, because the other one in it is really interesting as well, the non-Zamo storyline. But the episode begins... By the way, it's on YouTube if you want to have a look. It's Series 9, Episode 14. But if you just search Grange Hill Zamo Heroin, it'll be a top result. But it starts off... I think it must be half-term, because none of it actually takes place in the school itself.
No teachers, yeah.
And it starts off with Roland. And Roland, if you'd watched Grange Hill in the years preceding this, Roland was a troubled young man who was constantly bullied because of his weight and his appearance with his national health specs. And he was an outsider. He always tried to fit in, but it didn't happen for him. And he would eat. He'd eat his feelings.
He'd eat his feelings,
He'd eat his feelings, so that just accentuated everything.
And we all called him Roland, because he had this one girl that looked out for him and was kind to him.
It was Janet, I think she was called.
Yeah, and she'd always... Her catchphrase was, I'm only trying to help you, Roland.
I'm only to help you, Roland. But he didn't want the help. He shunned her. He pushed her away,
leave us alone. I don't need your help.
Yeah.
He's a great actor, by the way. I thought in this... I'd never registered at the time, but I thought his performance in this episode was very, very good.
Yeah.
Very naturalistic.
And as we discovered recently, some of the characters are coming back. It's going to be a Grange Hill film. And some of the characters in the 80s are going to play the grandparents of the kids in the new film, I think.
Wow.
So you might well see Roland coming back.
Yeah, the grandparents, mate. How's that make you feel?
Yeah, because this is like 35 years ago, so fucking hell, time goes too fast, mate.
Just a little bit on Zamo. Anyone who lives or worked in London over the last couple of decades will know lots about the legend of Zamo. It's like everyone, you know, like in Liverpool, everyone reckons they went to school with everyone in Liverpool reckons they went to school with Paul McCartney, right?
Right.
Everyone in Manchester reckons that their sister went out with Clint Boone, right?
This is news to me, but yeah.
Everyone in London has a connection to Lee McDonald, the actor of Zamo, right? Everyone's like, oh yeah, Lee McDonald, yeah, I know him. This is a fucking city of 10 million people we're talking about here, right? It's bigger than many nation states, and yet every cunt reckons they know or have had dealings with Lee McDonald. Now, one of the key things to that was anyone who worked in the West End in Soho in the noughties will remember that in the connecting, I can't remember what it's called now, but a connecting walkway between two of the main streets, I think Wardour Street and maybe Frith Street in Soho. There was a locksmith's, and Lee McDonald, Sam, I worked in this locksmith's for a lot of the noughties.
Yeah.
And the way you found this out was the way I found out. I think it was my mate Nick just texted me one day when we were first working up in the West End and went, mate, you know St. Anne's Walk, that's it. He's going, mate, you know St. Anne's Walk? And I go, yeah. He goes, you like to walk down there this week? I said, I walk down there every day. He goes, all right. When you're down there, pop into the locksmith's. You might see someone you recognise. And that was the trick that everyone did, right? Go in the locksmith on St. Anne's Walk. You might see someone you recognise. Yeah. And in the end, it became common. But there was a fucking... That locksmith must have done a lot of business because everyone was going in there and it was like, bam! Because no one had seen or thought about Zammo for about 20 years at that stage.
Yeah.
Right? And so that was the main one. But then only about 4 or 5 years ago, my brother comes into the office one day when I was working with my brother Dom. He goes, you'll never guess who I had round my house last night. I go, who? He goes, Zammo. I said, fuck off. He goes, Zammo came round my fucking house, I'm telling you. I said, how come? He said, because my wife's like mate came round, who she hadn't seen years, and she said, can I bring my boyfriend round? And they were coming round for dinner. And all they said was, she's got this boyfriend called Lee. He comes in, it's fucking Lee McDonald.
Wow. Zammo,
in my fucking house. And I said, did you do that thing of thinking, oh, he probably gets hassled about being Zammo all the time, so I won't bring it up because it'll be a bit cringe. He went, no, all he wanted to talk about was Zammo. He gave me fucking great chill stories all night at my own dinner table.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
He said he was an amazing bloke. Everyone who's met him says he's a fucking top bloke. So I hope he's... He's actually... I think Lee McDonald might be a future human of honour.
Yeah, feels like it. Mm. After we've done this, yeah. So, that's fantastic. Because he was key cutting, wasn't he, in that locksmith's? Because I think that was his job in there, key cutting.
Yeah, he's a key cutter, yeah.
Every now and again, the Daily Mirror or something would have a, where is he now, Zammo? He works in a... And he'd be wearing the brown overall coat kind of thing of the locksmith and the key cutter.
Jalapeño.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. Make a bigger impact at work with Grammarly. Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. You can even save time by going from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds. Join the 96% of Grammarly users that say it helps them craft more impactful writing. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.
Jalapeño.
That Where Are They Now business is just like, it's always got a slight kind of undertone of cuntishness to it, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Because it's like, look, the guy was in Grange Hill when he was a kid. Now he is still a living human being who does a job for a living, right? But the newspapers always try and say, not in Grange Hill anymore, are ya? But the good thing about Lee McDonald is that he reacts in the only way you can to something like that and just go, no, I'm not. I'm a locksmith. Next question.
Yeah, I'm loving it.
Do you know what I mean? Like, what do you want me to say? Do you want me to kill myself because I grew up and could no longer play a schoolboy in an 80s TV show? Should I be dead now? I mean, it's not the half of it. Women get it worse because women get it just for, like, their looks changing slightly, don't they?
She's got older. How dare she?
Look at her now. She looks a bit older than she did last year. What? Yeah. So what? What about you, you cunt, John Bigface?
You fucking John Bigface, fuck yeah. So this episode begins with Roland. Roland's working part-time in the arcade.
Legend.
Roland is a king now.
He didn't let the bullying get him down. is he's working, yeah. And one thing that we see is he is fucking professional and he takes his job seriously.
He's doing a lot of sweeping, isn't he?
Yeah, and he's got a special coat.
I don't know what there is that needs to be swept up. I don't know. Is it dust?
That's
or
one
what?
Of those tricks that in any job you have to make yourself look busy when you're not. Sweep when up. You're in a junior position. Yeah. Yeah. I once worked in a job in a junior position and a geezer took me aside and he went, it's very important. It was like a busy warehouse, right? And he said, it's very important that you look busy even when you're not, when you're in a junior role. And I said, I know, mate, but what am I supposed to fucking do? No one's given me any work. So I've had an hour. He goes, yeah, but I see you like sitting there looking like a lazy cunt. He goes, I know that's not your fault. He goes, but you have to learn a way to look busy even when you're not busy. It's really good advice. And I said, well, what am I supposed to do in this fucking warehouse? He goes, watch this. And he walked around looking at the ceiling. And he was looking at the ceiling. Then he was putting his hand out as if he was checking for a drink. Then he was looking at his hand. Then he'd walk a few yards like over to a different position and do the same. Then he'd put his hand on his hips and look at the floor. And I go, what's... I said, yeah. He goes, see what I mean? And I said, what was that about? He goes, fuck all, mate. But it makes it look like I'm investigating a leak. He went, there is no leak. But no cunt's going to look at you and go, he's a bit lazy. They're going to go, look at him fixing a situation.
Vigilant.
Yeah.
He's leak vigilant.
It's a good tip, that, isn't it?
It is. Well, at our price, if you were fucking needed something to do, they'd send you out onto the shop floor to do what was called sleeve checking. Which was making sure that all the album sleeves and the CD cases were in alphabetical order and in the categories that they should be in.
That's quite fun.
Because, you know,
fun.
People pick things up and they just put them down anywhere.
There are people are cunts so, like that.
People, exactly. So we had to do that. And that
was that when
really
you
tedious.
First started to hone your theory that people are cunts?
Or did working in Outprice. Yeah. No, I had it before then, to be honest.
Did you have it from childhood?
I think so, yeah.
You're not a fan of the Doors... You're not a fan of the Doors, but they did, of course, write that song, People Are Cunts.
You probably prefer
the Echo and the Bunnyman cover version.
Yeah, I heard that first before I heard the
people
Doors.
People are cunts when you're a person. People are cunty when you're alone.
Yeah. But, yeah, that, I mean, some people have said this, that, like, everyone, instead of doing national service, should have to do 2 years working in a... public facing role of some kind, customer service, and then maybe all of us would treat people a bit better when we have to do customer stuff.
Yeah,
because yeah, people, lots of people are all right, but it's just, you know, it's that minority that fucking,
you got to look out, you got to keep an eye out for the cunts, haven't you? That's what they say.
There's cunts everywhere. It's getting worse as well.
But Roland is not a cunt. Roland is a legend.
I can imagine there'd be quite a few cunts coming at this arcade.
Oh, yeah.
And we get a bit of a hint of it. But there seems to be a good vibe in there. Roland's in control of the situation. He's got a bit of authority about him.
He
in
has,
the interactions that he has with some of the customers.
I feel like he fits in better than he does at school.
Yeah.
Like, it's like you all have to find... If there's any school kids listening to this, what I would say is, first, stop listening. This is not
good
this isn't school
for you.
Kids.
Jesus.
But secondly, if you are... And... there was a school kid who was listening to it because he messaged me on Instagram from his classroom saying something mental like, Sam, can you... I'm trying to tell my mates about an episode. I'm in the classroom now. Can you just quickly tell me what episode this was on? It's like, fuck it. Obviously, I deleted the message, but I felt like going, fucking get off your phone and start listening to the teacher, you soppy cunt. You're not going to learn anything from the likes of me and Dawson.
Get out of my messages, you reverse nods.
Yeah. Oh, talking of nonces, have you seen the trailer for Obi-Wan Kenobi? It's the new...
I haven't, no.
You know there's a TV series coming out of it, I think the end of the month. So there's a lot of excitement in my household about this, and they released a trailer on May the 4th, Star Wars Day.
Right.
And
of course,
I even said to my kids, I said, I mean, not so much Len... don't like to do too much nonce chat with him because he's still only young, but you know, fucking my daughters at secondary school, all they do is talk about fucking nonces. They call everyone a nonce, right?
Good. That's can't what, be too vigilant, can you?
That's what kids do. They think it's hilarious, right? And I said, this fucking trailer, have you seen it? I said, if you watch it with the sound down, it's like a trailer for a show called Space Nonce. I said, there's this old fucking man who looks like a tramp. And there's a boy, like there's a child who's supposed to be a young sort of 8-year-old Luke Skywalker. Mm. And he's playing, you know, that little fucking igloo they lived in. You know the one. Sand igloo, yeah. Wasn't it?
Yeah.
Where he lives with his aunt and uncle. His fucking...
Nice place. Quite spacious, wasn't it?
His cunt uncle. It looked small from the outside, but when you got in there, dug down.
Extended downwards.
His fucking pain in the arse Lampard uncle. And his fairly attractive aunt. Anyway, fucking, they're just going about their business, trying to live a normal family life, right? And Luke is up on the fucking top of the igloo, playing at being a pilot,
playing Star Wars.
He's playing Star Wars. Cuts back. There's this fucking old geezer, right, in robes, fucking really wrong-un looking tramp, right, with a pair of fucking space binoculars, and then it cuts to his POV, and he's just zooming in on the kid. Right,
no!
And you think, what are you doing?
Space
dogs. And he goes, I've got to watch over him. And you go, no you don't, he's got his aunt and uncle, you mad cunt. You haven't got to fucking watch over him.
Do you
fuck
know him?
Off.
Have you met him?
Fuck off.
No.
You've never met him. You're hiding behind a fucking rock near his house, watching him every day through binoculars, right? And if anyone comes up to you and goes, what the fuck are you doing looking at that kid? You go, I'm not, mate, I'm here on official business. What official business? I'm supposed to be looking after that kid.
Yeah.
I don't know about that. Like, he looks like he's got a perfectly good family. Yeah, yeah, but are you from social services or something? No. Well, who sent you here then? Little green geezer. Little green man.
He's got special powers. I've got to keep looking at him.
Yeah, I was sent here. And this is official council business, is it? No, better than council. Yoda sent me. And who the fuck is Yoda when he's at home? Little green geezer. And I wouldn't fucking be flash about him, because if he was here now, he'd kick your fucking face in, you cunt.
Without even touching you.
Without fucking touching you, believe me. He don't look like much, but he's fucking nails. And he sent me here, and he said, watch that kiddie through your binoculars, keep a safe distance, yeah? Because he's got powers.
So what you're saying is you are part of a violent nonsense gang. No!
No,
no, that
don't sound
like that.
We're called the Jedis! Oh, really? And how far does this stretch, this network? Well, it was previously galaxy-wide, but there's been a big crackdown. Well, I'm not fucking surprised the way you go about your business. Yeah, but we're looking to rebuild.
I'm surprised you're still at large yourself. You should be behind bars, you cunt.
I'm going to send the Sam people up here to give you a fucking shoo-in. That'll put you off coming back looking at kiddies. So funny. Space Nonce.
That's coming soon, is it? Space Nonce.
Space Nonce is coming soon to Disney Plus, and I think it's going to be great landmark television.
Oh man, I still haven't watched fucking all of Mandalorian. Oh, there was another one afterwards, wasn't there? Was there
Book of Boba Fett? Book of Boba Fett's a bit shit.
Oh yeah, that's well. Is that shit? All right.
But Mandalorian is decent, in my opinion.
Yeah,
not everyone agrees. That. My wife thinks it's shit and boring. Her problem with everything after the original trilogy is that it lacks humour.
Right. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I can get that. Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
That's true. Really. I mean, they try at humour, but it's not that funny. Anyway. This is about Grain Chill, not Star Wars.
This is about Roland sweeping up
in
the arcade with his coat on. There's an arcade machine mender who's in there. He's trying to mend one of the Space Invaders. And he says the circuit board's fucked, so he's going to have to take it away and mend it at his mending shop. Zamo comes in. And Zamo wants to have a chat with Roland, and Roland just says, oh, we'll have a chat here. And Zamo's like, no, private chat. And Zamo needs 50 quid.
He doesn't look in great nick either, does he?
Zamo's not, no, he's not. He's a little bit under the weather.
He's
a bit
twitchy.
Fluey. Perhaps he's got the flu.
Yeah, and he looks anxious and jumpy.
Yeah, and he needs 50 quid quickly.
Now, this scam that Zamo outlines to Roland, this is where the writing is like, I was actually thinking, this is like The Wire. The way that in The Wire, David Simon used to always go, fuck the average viewer. That was his sort of like driving kind of raison d'etre, right? I will write it. I don't care if the average viewer doesn't understand. I'll write it as it is.
97%.
Yeah, that's what his thing was. And I feel that's what Phil Redmond was doing with Grange Hill. because this he basically is desperately outlining a convoluted and really dodgy sounding lie about what he needs money for, right? But it's so elaborate and detailed. I mean, I don't know about you, Andy. I completely lose track of what it is he's proposing. And I think that's almost the point. I think Roland's just sort of exasperated in the end. He kind of wears him down, doesn't he?
Yeah. Well, I watched it twice, this episode. I kind of got it the second time.
He says he can He can buy a motorbike cheap from an idiot and then resell it for a big profit immediately.
Yeah.
So all he needs is 50 quid up front.
It's part of a motorbike consortium, isn't it? It's not just Zammel that's buying it. Because as Roland correctly says, you can't get a motorbike for 50 quid.
Yeah.
Zammel says, it's part of a deal. Me and my mate are going to buy this motorbike for 150 quid from this idiot, and then we're going to sell it for 250. And
then split the proceeds.
I'll get 75 quid out of us, something. I don't think the maths actually add up, but then he offers Roland a cut. He says, Roland, he's going to make 25 quid, and he's going to give Roland 15 of it, and then he'll just keep 10 for himself. But, you know, Roland hasn't got that kind of money, and the fella who runs the arcade takes all the notes away at night, and this is first thing in the morning, so Zambo wants money from the arcade. It's good, because Roland says, there's no money in the machines or anything yet. He says, maybe come back at lunchtime. Zambo goes, lunchtime? Blimey, what's the matter with this place?
That was a bit, you're right, I laughed out loud at that bit, because he's so fucking angry and frustrated. He starts critiquing the fucking business model of an arcade. He's only about fucking 15. Blimey, what's the matter with this place? It did make me think that kids back in them days were like more savvy. Because this conversation would have been believable then. It wouldn't now. Kids don't know fucking anything about money or any shit. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think it's because we had to survive on our wits more. We didn't have fucking parents giving us handouts. And so you had to sort of know a little bit about scams and making money and shit like that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I don't know, maybe I'm just comparing it to my own kids, but I just think that they don't. Like nowadays, this scam, I'm impressed by Zammo and how enterprising he is. And also the fact that he even has an opinion on the way that the arcade does business is hilarious. What's the matter with this place? Well, you can only cash out at lunchtime? Fucking hell. You could be doing some of your best business round breakfast. You want to think of a morning promotion, son. Get people in here to get a free bit of toast with their first game.
Bacon rolls and coffee.
Yeah. Fucking obvious, you daft bastard. This is a potential gold mine.
This is the 80s.
Fucking hell, it's the enterprise economy.
Green is good. So that's the first scene we've covered in this first episode. And then the next scene goes over to the other storyline in it. So we'll look at that and more on Zammo in the next episode. I forgot to say there, you're talking about kids of this era being obsessed with nonsense in school and everything. A couple of years ago I bought what I thought was a quite fetching Adidas tracksuit top, which was a little bit out of my regular fashion wheelhouse, let's say, and I put it on, and my daughter just looked at it and went, you look like a nonce. And it went,
that's it,
it went, that was it, it went straight up the charity shop after that.
That's it They call each other, like, what I'm saying is, in the 80s kids knew all about scams and money, and now all the kids know about is fucking accusing everyone of being a pedo.
Yeah. And the thing is, if they do accuse an adult of being a pedo, an adult takes that really seriously and takes that to heart.
Yeah.
What makes you think I'm a pedo?
I know.
I look? Is it the way I talk?
Called a nonce in the street by a kid from primary school about a year ago. I was just remembering that yesterday. I think I talked about it on the pod because I knew the kid. Yeah. But I don't know whether he didn't recognise me because I had sunglasses on or what. But I went, I just gave him a smile and a nod. And he gave me a death stare back, and then he cycled about another 100 yards and shouted back, "Don't look at me, you nonce. No, don't smile at me, you nonce." I was rocked to my core. I was really upset.
Yeah,
I came back and I was going to go, that boy from the school just called me a nonce. Whatever would have given him that impression? And like my daughter was like, I told my daughter, and she was like, she said to me, listen, don't fucking take it in a bad or personal way. Like, that is just as normal as like you calling someone a wanker or a dickhead. She went, it's just,
of endearment.
She went, it's just normal. She went, it's just normal banter to our generation. And I said, well, to my generation, that's a very serious accusation. Yeah. And I don't want to hear it.
You be getting a letter from my solicitor.
Yeah. I'm going to have one of his parents about this.
Oh, good. Right. Okay, that's it for this one. We'll be back with more Zamo Odyssey next week. Thank you. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.